We always try to tie everything into the parsha, and it gets a little tricky when you want to make a continuation shiur. As he walks in right now, my Chavrusa Itai tries to challenge me when we have a continuation shiur, how is this going to tie into the parsha? So I was trying to give it some thought, and then I realized much of our discussion last week, because of Gid Anoshe, focused on the concept of Abderia, of a living organism and the ramifications that it has, because it's a whole living organism, that it doesn't lend itself to the regular rules and regulations of kashrus. And one of the examples that Chazal deal with when describing what a beria is the case in source number 6, the Shulchan Aruch writes, the fourth case, which is an Eiver Min HaChai, a full limb from a living animal. And I remembered that in this week's Parsha, it's a little bit of a stretch, but in this week's Parsha, the Mishnah Lamelech in his Sefer Parashas Drachim explains the whole debate between Yosef and his brothers, why they thought he was Chayav Misa, and why he really did the right thing. On his own account, he was correct, and they really misunderstood each other. So he says their machlokes was whether or not, based on the old, age-old machlokes between the Rishonim, if the Avos before Matan Torah were fully Jewish, or they just, no, they had some connection to Yiddishkeit, but they weren't really fully Jewish. So they watched Yosef, and he shechted an animal, and the halacha is that as long as the animal is still living, so that's not mutter to a guy. That's going to be one of the chumras we spoke about earlier this year. One of the chumras, one of the cases that were more stringent when it comes to the Gentile, because it's technically still alive during those minutes after slaughtering. So the Mishnah Lamelech quotes from sources that that was the case, that Yosef did a shechita, but his brothers thought that he was eating Eiver Min HaChai, and he really held that he was fully Jewish, and therefore he was permitted to eat it after the shechita. And that was the whole source of this week's Parsha, the debate between Yosef and his brothers. So we can, even though really, to be honest, the reason is because we had a lot to wrap up from last week, but it ties into this week's Parsha as well. So if we look at source number 6, much of what we spoke about last week was to explain the concept of beria. Why were we talking about beria? The Gemara tells us that a gid anoshe, which we spoke about last time, which was the filet mignon, the sciatic nerve, the piece of steak that has this gid anoshe in it, so that is not going to be batel barov. The Gemara says, just let it be batel barov. And the Gemara says, since it's a full entity, since if it's a full living organism, it's a beria, so then it's not considered to be, it's not something that lends itself to bittel. Even though, technically, it's not living right now, it came from a living animal, just like an Eiver Min HaChai is not really living, it came from a living animal. But the Rishonim write, that also is considered living and will constitute as a beria, as a full unit, as a full organism that has a certain importance that we can't just apply the regular rules and regulations of saying, yeah, no problem, there's shish in there, there's 60 times, there's enough to be mevatel barov to cancel it in the majority, and that would help when you have a mixture when it comes to other isurim. So it comes along the Shulchan Aruch in source number 6, as we spoke about last week, beria, the Ainu could go nimala, a living creature like an ant, a namala, o of tame, or a non-kosher bird, vigid anoshe, or the sciatic nerve, ve'aver menachai, or a living limb that has whatever constitutes an aver menachai, which we spoke about earlier, finds beitza sheish bo afroach, or a certain type of egg, afilu be'alef lo batel, says the Shulchan Aruch, it's not batel, it's not canceled even be'alef. Now, this is interesting because there were some Rishonim that held when the Gemara says beria has a certain level of importance. Beria does not go under the regular rules and regulations of bittel barov, that it's enough to have 60 times the permitted item. That's what the halacha is when it comes to regular kashrus. However, when it comes to beria, then you can't even have 1,000 times. Some Rishonim were of the opinion that if you have close to 1,000, if you have that number, so then, if you have a large pot, so then that will be allowed, that will be enough to now be mevatel and cancel out the living creature that's inside your broccoli or whatever item you're talking about. However, the Shulchan Aruch is saying, afilu be'elef lo batel, against those Rishonim. Even though there were some Rishonim that said, if you have a certain significance, we're not going to allow the original 60 times that amount, but 1,000 times we will amount. The Shulchan Aruch says, no, it's never batel. A living animal, a living creature inside your broccoli is never going to be batel. It's never going to be canceled. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, which we spoke about last week, ve'ein lo din beria, elim kein hu davar shehaya bo chiyus. It only constitutes a living a creature, a living organism that has these higher rules and regulations when it comes to the regular rules of kashrus, if it's something that comes from a source of life, davar shehaya bo chiyus. La'afuke, coming to the exclusion of achita achas shel iser. Let's say you have a kernel of some sort of prohibition. It's not a living item. It never had something that was walking around. It wasn't a creature. It wasn't an ant. It was a kernel. A kernel of truma, a kernel of kilayim, something that was aser, that's prohibited, but it's a kernel, it's a chita. So then, that doesn't constitute a beria, because that's missing the first qualification, which is it has to have life. It also has to be something that in its original existence in this world, it was aser. This was what Tosfos asked and the Rishonim asked. We have a shor haniskal. We have an animal that misbehaved, that has to get skila, that's punished, that no one can get any positive benefit from that animal. And it's a living organism. And yet the Gemara does not consider it a beria. And the regular rules of Bittul Barov would have applied. And the halacha of beria, the fact that this is a living creature, this shor haniskal, does not apply. So the Rishonim write, I'll tell you why. Because this iser, this prohibition, only happened later on in its life. It wasn't what originated, it wasn't when this thing came into existence, and therefore was missing the second qualification that the Shulchan Aruch writes in order to be a beria. Fine. Lafuke of tahor shenis nabel, and also to the exclusion of a kosher animal that there was a problem with the shechita. That's not a beria. If that gets thrown into your chulin, or that gets thrown into a mixture of other chickens that you're not sure which is kosher, which is not, it's not a problem. We could apply the regular rules and regulations of Bittul Barov. It's kosher as long as there's a good enough amount, and we can be mevatel barov in the taruvis, in the mixture, not a problem. It's a living creature. It was once a living creature. Yeah, but the problem was only later on in its life. It was only when the shechita happened. Now we don't know if it was the shechita was kosher or not. You want to say it's an avail? You want to aser the whole taruvis because it's a beria? It's not true. Shor haniskal, like we said, v'chein tzarech sheyeh davar shalem, and it also has to be a complete entity. If, and this is the important halachas that we're going to talk about tonight, if the organism is not in its entirety, it's not complete, then you will not have the halacha of beria, and guess what? Your ants are not going to be a problem. So what you already, we didn't get to it yet, but we will discuss it, which was the title of this year. So when you're throwing those strawberries into the smoothie, and everything's going to get into the blender, and all the legs of that creature, as disgusting as it sounds, are going to get ripped off of that ant or whatever bug is in there, I don't know what they're called, then there shouldn't be a problem with beria anymore. And now I should just take my ratio, look at the strawberries versus the ants, and say, wow, beautiful. Not a problem at all. Everything becomes batel barov. It's no different than someone dropping a little bit of chazer or a little bit of treif into my strawberry soup or into my strawberry smoothie, which is absolutely going to be mutter when you call the Rav, and he's going to say, was there 60 times the amount of strawberries of treif? Sure. Nothing else to discuss. No beria. All the insects that are inside the strawberries are going to be mutter. Let's hold that. That's what should come to mind from the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says shalem right there. Just a quick point to point out. It's very interesting. Reb Kiva Eger points this out on the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch's first qualification is, it's only a beria if it was a dover. I'm sorry. The Shulchan Aruch writes, 1 second. Oh, we skipped one line. That was the problem. V'chein tzarech sheyeh dover shalem. We have to read one more line. She'im yichalek ein shmo olav. And this is what we left off with last year. Tosfos's qualification from last sugya, from last week, said, the whole
criteria of Beria is totally dependent on one qualification, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes here. If you cut this item up, if it's not in its living organism form, if it's not in its complete Beria nature, let's say an Aver Menachai, a complete Aver, a full limb, or let's say an insect, a complete insect, it doesn't have the legs anymore, whatever part you take off, when you remove part of that item, does it lose its shame? Does it lose its significance? Does it lose its name? Or does it still retain its name? So Tosfos says, if it loses the Isser, like in Aver Menachai, the Torah says, you are only obligated if you eat an absolutely full Aver, having etzem, bones, gidim, tendons, basar, meat, all of those items. If you rip off one of those things, you're not chayiv for Aver Menachai. So once I take off one of those items, ein shmo olav, the Isser is no longer in existence. When the Torah says don't eat a sheretz, the Torah said don't eat a full sheretz, meaning the whole beria, the whole item, the whole entity. However, when the Shulchan Aruch wrote, Rabbi Kiva Eger asked this question, when the Shulchan Aruch spoke about a chita, the kernel of the kilayim or of the truma, so the Shulchan Aruch said the reason why that's not a beria, its reason why that doesn't classify as a regular beria is because it's not living. It doesn't have any chiyus. Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, I have a much better reason. You could use the reason of Tosfos, the reason that the Shulchan Aruch is about to say. She'im yischalek, ein shmo olav. Once you take it away, the Isser is not retaining anymore. If the Isser remains, even after I cut it up into little pieces, it doesn't change the Isser, so then that's not a beria. If I cut up a chita, and I turn it into flour, a kernel, and I turn it into flour, I turn it into powder, the same prohibition of kilayim, the same prohibition of truma, will exist no matter if it's a full-fledged kernel, or if it's a little powder crushed from a blender into absolutely nothing. So it should already lose its qualifications as a beria because of the basic reason of im yischalek ein shmo olav. Again, Tosfos says the last reason of the Shulchan Aruch is it has to be an entity that only retains the significance of a beria when it's a whole entity. However, if it retains the shame isser, even once it's cut up, it still has that shame isser that it had prior as living as a full entity. That's not qualified as a beria. So ask the Rebbe Kiva Eger, so when it comes to a chita of truma, it comes to a kernel of whatever item you're talking about, it doesn't have to be a beria because of, it's not a beria because it's not living, even without that qualification. I could just say it's a beria because even if I cut it up, it's still usser. It's not limited to its significant state of when it's fully intact with all of its legs or with all of its kernel status. So Rebbe Kiva Eger just points out, I just thought this was fascinating, very interesting. He says, you see from here that the Shulchan Aruch didn't define im yischalek ein shmo olav the same way Tosfos did. Tosfos said it all depends on the Torah's hagdara. If the Torah said this item is only usser, the los assays of the Torah, what the Torah said, don't eat. If this item is only usser in its entire state, in this full status before it gets tampered with, so then, it's a beria if it only retains the isser in that state of entirety. But if you crush it up and it loses that status, so then, and if it still retains the isser, so obviously that's not a beria because there's nothing significant about the fact that it was containing all of its entirety. However, the Rashba defines it differently. It's not based on when the Torah puts the prohibition on you. It's the way people consider that item. Im yischalek ein shmo olav, which shame? The shame of the lo saseh? To what the Torah said? Did the Torah say that the prohibition is specifically in that status, but if you cut it up, the prohibition is not going to exist anymore? That's the definition of a beria? Says the Rashba, no. It depends on how the people call it. If people associate the full entity as a chita, and they have a different terminology when it comes to the powder, and they call it kemach, that is what im yischalek ein shmo olav. So it was the criteria of Im Yischalek Ein Shmo Olav, says Reb Kiva Eiger, that wasn't sufficient for the Shulchan Aruch. Because it wasn't dependent on where the Torah places its prohibitions. That's not what it's dependent on. It's dependent on what we consider these two items. If it loses its colloquial status of being a chita, being a beria, having a certain name when it's fully intact, and it changes into be another entity in the supermarket, then that qualifies as a beria. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch had to come on to a different reason why the chita is not a beria. It's not because of Im Yischalek Ein Shmo Olav, because we don't follow the losases. We don't follow prohibitions. The Torah is not in the driver's seat over here. It's we who are in the driver's seat. And if it was for that criteria, chita would qualify. Because a chita, when it's crushed up, it turns into kemach. It's something else. It has a totally different name. So that would have given it a beria. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch had to come on to a different reason. The only reason a chita, a kernel of truma or kalayim, whatever it is, whatever the prohibition is not a beria, is because that doesn't have any living status to it, and therefore it doesn't qualify for another reason. It's just a fascinating concept that we, the way we refer to things, the way we shop in the stores, that can decide, according to the Rashba, what's a beria, what's not a beria. But that's not what I want to focus on tonight. What I want to focus on tonight is number one, we'll get to a second, the blender, the smoothie. That's really what I want to talk about. And hopefully we'll come up with some geshmak kulas. And I recently found Rebbe Yashiv that was on board with some of these, and I was very excited. I'll tell you the whole story. But I want to talk about a little bit of the halacha lemaisa of what's this whole checking status. Because before we talk about getting rid of the scenarios where you don't have to check and where it's permitted and b'dieved when it's okay, I want to understand, first of all, why do you ever have to check? Lemaisa, if you really calculate, are majority of our stuff, are a majority of our produce infested with bugs? The answer is no. So there's halacha in the Torah of achra rabba mahatos. We should follow the rove. So what are we being so frum over here? What's this shtick? What is this? When did all this start? Where are you getting this from? The Torah says go after rove. What do you have to be so machmir for? What's the big deal? I could just say, my fruit, my vegetables, whatever they say in the handbooks that are problematic, there's no problem. You read the pasuk in the Torah? The pasuk said, achri rabba mahatos, we should go bust of the rove, we should follow the majority? Majority are okay. Because on day, what's the problem? That's a good question. That's a serious question that we have to answer. So if you look around Shas, you'll find that there are certain scenarios that even though there is a majority, and you should have been able to go after the majority, Chazal told you you should still be bodik. There's a chi of bedika. One of those examples is treifa. Even though when a person shechs an animal, you really shouldn't have to check if the animal's treif. You shouldn't have to check the lungs to see if there are sirchas, if there are piercings in the lungs, in the reyes. Because majority are fine. Yet Chazal tell us, we should still check. So why is that? There was a chiyuv midrabbanan, a rabbinic obligation, to check, to be bodik, a chiyuv bdika, in scenarios where the minority, the miyut, is significant. It's called a miyut hamatzu. So this now changes halacha entirely. Midrabbana. Min haTorah, everything is permitted for two reasons. We spoke last week because it's batel berov, the whole concept of beria. We don't postulate tosim b'metzia. The fact that it's not batel in the bushel of the broccoli is only a chiv midrabbanan. It's only an issur derabbanan. A beria is batel min haTorah. The regular rules of batel berov apply. Midrabbanan, we don't hold like tosim b'metzia. Midrabbanan, we say that there's a chashivas to the bug in its entirety, and it will not become batel. But I want to know why I have to check. Why do I have to check? Maybe I could just assume that most of the bushels don't have anything. So any time there's a certain significance to the minority, to the number in the minority, the miyut, so then a person has a chi of bedika. The million-dollar question is, okay, I find different areas throughout Shas that, like the case of trefa, like the case of animals that have sirchas on the reya, that there was a chi of bedika. So that Chazal told me, fine. But who decides the number? Where does the OU get this idea that it's 10%? Mehechatesi. Who decides what's considered a significant minority? Who decides what's considered more frequent that a person should raise their eyebrows and now be a little wary that they shouldn't rely on the rove, even though everyone will agree that Minat Torah, that will be totally permissible? So comes along the Mishkanes Yaakov, Rav Yaakov from Karlin, and he's considered the accepted psak on this matter. Although I'll show to you that there were some questions about it. That the Mishkanes Yaakov paskins that it must be 10%. What did he flip a coin? Where did he get that number? Who says that if 10% of my bushels of broccoli or if 10% of my heads of salad have bugs in them, so then that becomes a more frequent minority? That's something that I have to raise eyebrows for? That now, rabbinically, I have an obligation now to check all those vegetables before I do anything with them and I serve them on Shabbos. Or during the week, for that matter. Comes along the Mishkanes Yaakov and says a fascinating chiddush. He says, we know the Gemaras in Gittin tell us that a person has the ability to be mafresh trumos on all of his crops. But the Gemara tells us in Gittin that we'd have to go check a few times a year to make sure that the barrels that he was separating, that this truma should work for, should be still intact and be good wine or good barrels, whatever he was being mafresh trumas and meisers for. And if he was mafresh on yayin, so then he would check that that yayin, that wine, didn't turn into chometz yet. Didn't go bad because there's an isser to be mafresh, to take off truma, min ayofa al ara, min ara al ayofa. You're not allowed to do it on good and bad. You have to be equal. The bushel that you're trying to permit has to be equal to what you're taking off, to what you're giving truma to the kohen. So the Gemara says, he would check a few times a year on those barrels to make sure that those barrels of wine didn't go bad. Fine. Okay. We don't see anything yet. Then the Mishkanes Yaakov says, and I know the Gemara Bava Basra that deals with financial matters, that deals with mekachtos, tells me that a person who bought 100 barrels of wine and 10 of those barrels are bad, are already vinegar, have gone bad, that person cannot go back to the seller and say, mekachtos, because it's expected and it's frequent for 10 out of 100 of those barrels to go bad. Says the Mishkanes Yaakov, we just found our magical number. The Mishnah that told us there's a chiyuv bdika when it comes to trumas and maaseros, and we can now plug in what's frequent that a person can't complain and say, mekachtos, listen, 10 of my barrels are bad. So the Mishkanes Yaakov says, the only thing I know, at least when it comes to 10%, there must be a chiyuv bdika. Because I know from the case of mekachtos, when the sale went bad, I can't claim mekachtos because that's something frequent. And I know that I have to be bodeich throughout the year for something that's probably frequent. So it must be that the Chazal told me, at least, nothing more than 10%, a person has to be bodeich. That is
10% of the wine.
The barrels of wine.
Oh,
the magical question. What's 10% of salad? What's 10% of... What are you going to say? Every 10 slices of lettuce? Every... So Rav Shlomo... It's a good question. And I don't have a full answer. I can tell you what Rav Shlomo Zalman said. Shlomo Zalman said you don't look at it as every piece of lettuce. You look at it as 10 units. 10 heads. And that's the way he separated. He separated it as separate entities. But there's no clear sources for that matter. Ein Hanami. That's the way Rav Shlomo Zalman paskin, and that's the way the OU paskins. That's a 10 units. So you're right. But that's where he got, we have to even understand where the number comes from. This psak of the Mishkanes Yaakov is what's accepted la halacha by most poskim, that for 10%, if 10% of, and again, it's not going to be ever relevant for us, because the kashrus organizations will always tell you what's in the scenario of Mira Motzei, what's past 10%, what's less than 10%. We want to know this because if it's less than 10%, if you have a vegetable that gets that barely ever, not even 10% of the time gets bugs, there's no chiyuv to be bodik. Don't even check it. Because the only chiyuv bedika the Mishkanes Yaakov proved me was a Mira Matzah. Now, I'm not going to make this announcement, but the Rivash, one of the Rishonim, for some reason this didn't make It wasn't marketed well and it didn't sell. But the Rivash was of the opinion that Mir HaMatza is much higher than 10%. He says, Karov Lemechza. And some of the poskim quote this to be makel about, because that would be a serious kula when it comes to not wanting to check something that's 10%, but maybe it's 40%. Still, you would have the Rivash, but again, the Poskim and the OU do not paskin like this. I don't think any of the Kashas organizations paskin like the Rivash, but it's an interesting shita to be aware of. Can one argue with all the examples that the Rivash, that the Mishkanes Yaakov is learning from? I think so. Number one, all the examples, let's say, of a treif animal that's going to have blemishes on the lungs, that the animal we're checking, if it's going to be a treif, it's going to be non-kosher, right? Over here, in the case of the bugs, let's remember last week's shear. At the end of the day, what's the worst case scenario that you're going to violate if you eat this broccoli that you didn't check? At the end of the day, worst case scenario, derabana, because it's batel berov. So maybe one could logically make a distinction between all of the examples, even Trumas and Maestras. Those are all Daraisas. This is Midrabanan. How do you know necessarily that one can extrapolate one from the other? Logically, one could also make a distinction, and one could say, when it comes to the yayin that turns into vinegar, when it comes into the lungs, the animal, that's a disease. That's something that naturally happens. That's something that I have to check for, because there's a natural course of events that could happen to either the wine or to the animal. However, the bugs, a lot of these bugs are coming from who knows where they're coming from. They're coming mibachutz. They're coming outside. They're not an internal problem. How does one necessarily extrapolate from one case to the other? Yor Sameach, or Meir Simcha Mitvinsk, has a fascinating argument to possibly argue with the whole source of the Mishkanes Yaakov. And he says, maybe one doesn't necessarily have to compare mitzvos to Isur. When it comes to the mitzvahs of Trumas and Maisros, so yes, there's a certain level, there's a certain carefulness that we have when it comes to doing a mitzvah essay, a svar that we've spoken about many times, that maybe there's no concept of honest when it comes to mitzvah. Mitzvos is a function of Avas Hashem. So you're right, we could say you're exempt, you're potter, you were an honest. But at the end of the day, did you bring your wife the flowers? Did you make up? Did you bring her the card? You could tell her, I got stuck in traffic. I know it's your birthday, but you don't understand. I got into an accident, this and that. But Maisa, you're going to sleep that night. She's not going to be happy. You didn't bring her flowers. You can have the exemptions all you want. You didn't have Hiskarvas Takarish Baruch Hu. So Anus, that doesn't help you when it comes to Avas Hashem. That doesn't help you when it comes to mitzvahs. You can have all the doctor's notes you want. It's not going to help you. When it comes to Losase, comes to Yisurim, we want to know, did you violate or not? I didn't violate. I have a doctor's note. I got into a car accident. I was exempt. Yeah, you're off the hook. No problem. So says the Yor Sameach, maybe when it comes to the Chiv Bdika as well. Maybe when it comes to mitzvahs, there's a certain level. 10%, yeah, we have to be very stringent. This is a mitzvah essay. We want to make sure we're Mekayim, we fulfill this mitzvah. Isurim, come on, you had a rove. You had Karov Lemechta. You had so much to rely on. Maybe one could have argued. Lamaisa, I'm just throwing these svaras out there. Halacha is 10%, that's what's been accepted. Rahalach. But now, let's get back to our smoothies. So now we want to know, are there any scenarios that we could be makel and say, you're right, lechachila, in general, I know I want to serve broccoli, I want to serve salad, I should try to check, because there's a chiv midrabanan, even though in general, minat Torah, you can go basarov midrabanan, anything that was a minority that was frequent, you should be choshesh and check lechatchila for an amir hamotzei, a common and frequent minority. 10% we proved, the Mishkanes Yaakov. But let's say, I know that I will put myself into a scenario. I will make sure that there is no barrier that's going to exist over here. Because I'm going to throw this strawberry straight from the supermarket directly into my blender and make a geschmack, a smoothie. And there are going to be no barriers and living organisms that are intact in my cup. So, can I rely on Bittul Barov? So this deals with the halacha of Ein Mevatlin Isser L'Chadchila. The Gemara in Beitzan, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, tells us that a person does not have the ability, even if he has 60 times the cholent inside his pot, and he wants to make a geshmaka cholent, he doesn't have, you know the old joke, the Rav in Israel met
met this couple, and they were having a big argument. And they said, you know, because I by accident I didn't realize that the meat that I bought for the cholent, I bought a little piece of meat. One of the packages happened to not have a hechsher, and I think it's nevela meat, it's not kosher. And the rabbi said, no problem, al tidag, zeb seder. He said, zebatel b'shishim. It's there's 60 times the amount of cholent of that little kezias of meat that you put in. You made a big fat cholent. There's so much more than that. You have no problem. No problem. Oh, so Baruch Hashem, they stop fighting, Baruch Hashem. The rabbi sees them 6 weeks later, and he says, Nu, how's your marriage? How's everything going? So she says to the rabbi, Me'az she'amarto batel b'shishim, hakol b'seder. Since you told me that batel b'shishim, everything tastes great. Everything's great. Our cholent's great. No, but the answer is, first of all, she thought that shishim wasn't shishim. But the answer is, even without that, the Gemara over here, v'hakamavata l'si l'chadchila, you don't have the ability to just throw in chazer and non-kosher food, even if the end of the day, technically, it will be mutter. Min haTorah, everything's, again, fine. Everything's, you're off. If you're just worried about the orices this year, no problem. But midrabanan, Chazal said that it's aser. And as we'll see in Shulchan Aruch, in source number 2, ein mevatlan iser lechatchila, and if a person does it bemazed, Chazal say that the bittul doesn't work, and it doesn't not only work for you, it doesn't work for the person that you did it for that's sitting at your table. Even if you knew you were going to have a guest, or you're going to send it to your neighbor, and you knew you were going to do it for him, Chazal said the bittul doesn't work, and it's usur for you, and it's usur for him. What?
He's saying it's an issur for 10%.
So let's say Jack, you want to argue even better. I know for sure that there are bugs in here. Let's say it's muhsuk. Let's say it's worse than a mira matzah. Let's say rove of them have. Can I put it into the blender? You're 100% right, Jack. Jack's saying that this is better. This is much worse than this is much better. Our shaila is even in a case of where you know for a bug. Will that be mutter? You're 100% right. I agree with you 100%. The scenario is not a case where you have vada yisr. You're right. 100%. Let's say you do have a strawberries, or you have items that will be iser, will be mutter. No, but still, 100.
You can make an analogy if you know there are bugs in there to trade.
But I can't.
You can make an analogy to strawberries where you don't even know what's in there to trade
this. Why not?
One is a suffic iser and one is a vada iser.
Let's say I have something that's suffic iser, so I have the ability to throw it in. Suffic iser.
Other than that 10% kashash that was imposed.
No. We're talking about a case where it was 10%. It's taka also without my chiyuv dik. I shouldn't eat it. I'm now not eating it. Now I say, I don't want to take care of my chiyuvim. I don't care about it. Even in case there's not going to be any issur there, I don't care about it. I want to take care of it. Is that a violation of avatal issur l'chadchila? Or let's say I create a scenario that I make sure, no problem, I'm going to make sure that it's going to be batal barov. I'm relying on bittal issur l'chadchila. On the tzad that there is an issur in there, which would be the issur, right, midrabanan. There's a chiyuv bedika, and we have to be chosh for the iser. I'm saying, don't worry about it. At the end of the day, it's going to be batal. Okay, but that's bittul iser lechatchila. That's going to be a problem. That's not something that you could rely on. I was just dramatizing it by saying in a case where you have vada iser.
To your smoothie protein.
Right.
And you know it's going to be batal.
Right, exactly. So what would be the case? So comes along the Shulchan Aruch in source number 4, and says as follows, Dvash naflu bo nemalin, which is like Jack's case. I know for sure that the ants are there. So this is even like Jack pointed out. It's much worse than the case of Safek. But I'm going to tell you, Jack, it's still going to be mutter. Like I told you. Dvash naflu bo nemalin, you have honey, and you know that insects went into this honey. Yichamemenu ad sheyehei nitach. You can heat it up until the bugs are pulled apart from its body. What do you mean? I'm being mevatel issur lechatchila. I'm raising up the flame in order that I don't have a beria, that I don't have a creature, that I don't have an insect inside my tarovis. This is a direct violation of source number 1, source number 2, ein mevatlan issur lechatchila. You don't have the ability to do that. Comes along the shach and paskins. Ve'ein zeh mishum mevatel issur lechatchila she'aser. She'ein kavanoso elo litaken hadvash. Now let's remember, Shach is telling you, it depends what your intentions are. So you have to be honest over here. If your intentions are just to improve the honey,
And it's not because I want to circumvent the Isser of Beria, and I'm just trying to find out ways that I'm going to make sure that I don't have to check, and I don't have to be bodek, and I can just get around this annoying chiyuv midrabbanan of the Mishkanes Yaakov, of this whole schmooze of 10%, and I'm going to put it into this scenario, and I'm going to heat it up in order to make sure the bugs rip apart, and then they're going to be batel berov. No, then there's nothing to talk about. That's a violation of ein mevatlin Isser l'chadchila. However, if you have other kavanah, if you would have done this anyways, because this is part of the process of making honey, this is part of the process of making this good, and your kavana is not to be mevatalit, so then this will be permitted. And this is quoted from some of the Rishonim. The Ran is of the opinion in Avodah Zarah that when a person kashers his treifakli, right? And what does he do? He does one of two things. He has treifakli, a treifa spoon, and he wants to kasher it. So either he has to put it in a bowl or in a pot that is 60 times the amount of the spoon, or he has to wait till the spoon is an eno ben yomo, till 24 hours. But the Ran says, when he does it in more than shishim, aren't you being mevatel Isser l'chadchila? Now basically you're extracting what's usser in the treif, a spoon that you dropped by accident and you made a treif, and now you're putting it into the water. The Ran says, ein kavanasa levatel. He doesn't really care about extracting the Isser there. He just wants to kasher it. He doesn't need the Isser. He doesn't want to benefit from the Isser. And therefore, the Ran even applies to the case of kashering. Every case of kashering is permitted because ein kavanasa levatel. But back to our scenario, if we can compare it to the honey.
Doesn't it mean you eat a strawberry? You're not intending. I don't care whether you know that it's 80.
Yeah, but I'm intending to
I'm intending to eat the strawberry.
You want to say that any time of your achila? Okay, you're right. But right now, in the status that it's in, it has a chiyuv bedika. And your only way to halachically take care of it, right now, that's aser. The strawberry, midrabbanan, they aser that strawberry. So I'm not doing anything. I'm not being mevatel anything. I'm not doing anything to it. You want to taina, you want to say as far like this, which I did see in some acharim. Say, one second. By the time that I swallow it, I put it through my teeth and I crush up the bug. So maybe I am being mevatalit. Maybe I am permitting the Isser through chewing it, because at the time that I swallow it, so then it's not going to be a berry anymore. But again, but if you don't take care of that Isser, so right now it's technically prohibited. Meaning, ein mevatlin Isser l'chadchila and ein kavanasa levatel is only, I want to take care, I want to be a good Jew. I want to have a chap. I want to make sure what I eat is mutter, which it technically is. Once you put it through whatever process it's in, it's not a berry anymore, it's not a creature anymore, and it should be batel berov. Now, Chazal came along, midrabbanan, and they said, come on, you just pulled shtick. You just circumvented the Isser. So, if you're not trying to circumvent, you want to be over the Isser straight up, you're right, but you have a problem that you ate something that was asr midrabbanan. But, if you want to go through the shtick, let's call it, and I want to create a scenario that it's not going to be a creature anymore, that it's not going to be prohibited, and I can claim to my rabbi and say, hey, everything's batel berov, everything's mutter, there ain't no creature anymore, why do you have complaints to me? The rabbi says, one second, I saw when you bought that what you were planning on doing. I saw that you were doing this in order to circumvent the Isser. However, now I can say to my rabbi, no, rabbi, I passed him like the shach. I did not want to. I always, no matter what, whether or not the strawberries would have had bugs or would not have bugs, I would have done the same exact thing with the strawberries, because my purpose was to drink my smoothie that I have for breakfast every morning. So in such a scenario, when you know for sure that it's going to be batel, and it's going to be nisrasik, and there's not going to be a berry anymore, the shach, paskins, ein kavanasa levatel, that's not the reason I'm doing it, and that would be a tremendous kula. Rav Yashiv, I was so excited when I saw this, that we have someone like Rabbi Yashiv on board with this. Rabbi Yashiv brings this down in the Sefer HaKashrus. He paskins that if it's ein kavanasa levatel, in a case of wine, similar case with bugs, with the grapes, whatever, he says if the person's just trying to make wine and he's crushing it up, and it's ein kavanasa levatel, he paskins like that. The reason why I was shocked is because if you look in source number 3, the Taz limits this heter of ein kavanasa levatel. He tries to answer a contradiction in Shulchan Aruch, and he is of the opinion that ein kavanasa levatel, which many Rabbanim are of the opinion, is only in a scenario one could rely on this if it would be a big bother, a big tircha to check, more than a regular scenario of checking,
Or if it's a hefsid, or if you're going to lose some of the fruit and you don't want to lose it. So in such scenarios, one could rely on a kavanos levata. But you don't get that impression from the shach. The shach sounds like it is going to be mutter as long as your kavana is straight up. It wasn't in order to circumvent and get around the isser of ein mevatlin, of beria, and I didn't violate ein mevatlin, and that will be permitted. This is the psak of the OU. The OU does paskin like this in Kavanos Levatah. What happens if you're in a scenario that you didn't necessarily put it in a blender, right? So I can't say for sure that all the bugs are totally... A blender, there is no question that the bugs are... That's what a blender is. A blender just mushes up everything. That I can say for sure that all the bugs were not, and there's no berry anymore. What?
A chopped salad.
Let's say a chopped salad, or let's say not even a chopped salad. Let's say you went through the cooking process. Let's say, this happens all the time. Let's say you're invited somewhere, and a person was not aware about these halachos, and a person cooked up broccolis, or something else, so it went through the cooking process. Is there anything to be lenient about in such a scenario? So the answer is yes, and this is really why I was excited. Because this really depends on what category we're in terms of numbers, in terms of all of the status of all the different crops. Now, if the crop is mukhsuk, let's say like the category we were talking about before, that it's rove, or it has more than 50% have bugs, then a person has to be very serious about such a situation. However, what happens to a category, which we've been talking about, that lichatchila, a person... We know in Menat Torah there's a rove, there's a majority. Majority of them are not infested. But there's a significant minority. There's a mid hamatzai above 10%, under 50%. Majority is kosher, under 50%. But it's a significant minority from 10% on. So, comes along the Rashba, and with this we'll close, and says, if a person already cooked it, so then you have what's called in halacha, a svek sveka. On the one hand, you have a suffik in the first place. I don't know for sure if it's in here. The whole thing is a mir hamotzei. It's a question. We said already, minatori, you have a rove to rely on. It's a suffik. Yeah, but suffik daraisa l'chumra. You have to be machmir. Okay, sveikos, I can't be mekel just because of one suffik. But then the Rashba says, but it went through the bishul process. Comes along the shach in source number 5, quotes the Rashba, something that was mi'at hamatzui, that was under majority, was under 50%, even though it was over the mi'at hamatzui, over the 10%, that l'chadchila we should check. If a person did not check, if it not only has the first suffix, but now it has a second suffix, that maybe it got affected in the bishul. Okay, it's still a suffix. It's not as good as the blender. It's not as good as something like the heat with the dvash. But you have a serious suffix to contend with, so then you have a svek sveka right there, and you are permitted to eat. This is the most exciting part. I was always told, broccolis, all these issues, that's mukhsuk bitolayim, that's a problem, that's rove. I called the OU last week, this is what they told me. OU told me that all, pretty much, except for seasons maybe in Mexico, pretty much it's pretty safe to assume that most of the scenarios of most of our fruits and vegetables are in this category of 10% under 50%, and therefore, b'dieved, you would have this rashba, this svek sveka, to rely on in a case where someone didn't check, or you're worried that someone doesn't know to check, and therefore, after cooking, would be mutter. Go ahead.